good afternoon, everybody, and wish you all a wonderful, hopeful, godly 2015. I remember Woodrow Kroll, who's actually from the Back to the Bible, before he would end the message, he would say, "Hope you all have a good day and a godly day. For what good day it is when it is not a godly day." And that verse, that particular statement latched onto my heart when I was growing up, because a good day doesn't mean anything unless it's a godly day, isn't it? And it's important for us. I had a thought since the beginning of December about Christmas. When I got an email from Brother Charles that he was looking for filling for today, and I thought, I'm going to share this particular message from the Word about Christmas, because it was really dear to me, and I looked at this particular verse in a whole different way, and I thought I would just share this with you. So we're going to open our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It's a very familiar verse during the month of December, and it's been quoted a lot. And it's been the theme of many songwriters, and there's been a whole set of musical writings on that by the Messiah. And Isaiah has this particular good news to the people. And I'm going to read from ESV, and it goes like this. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7. "Of the increase of his government and the peace there will be no end, and the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this." Very familiar verse and a very strong promise. And if you look at this particular time when Isaiah brought this message, one should not forget the background. Okay? When Isaiah was living, there was a battle that was going on in the northern part of Israel. You know, the 10 tribes were northern part compared to the southern part, where there was Israel and Simeon. Only two tribes were down south, and they were northern tribes. And if you recall, I think in chapter 8 of Isaiah, there was a constant war that was blowing from Assyria, from the northern Syrian part. The kings were attacking the northern tribes. So there was a battle that was coming on. And the southern king of Judah got the smell of it. They knew that the battle that was waged by Syrians was percolating to the southern part. Okay, so the people were getting ready to fight because there was a battle. Now, I was telling our brother that ever since Joshua's time, in Joshua 11:23, ever since then, people had been fighting and they've been exposed to battles in the kingdom of Israel. The last time we seen the scripture that was rest from the battle was in Joshua's time, when God told Joshua certain things. And when Joshua did everything what God wanted him to do, the Lord brought rest to the land. Joshua 11:23. But then the moment when they slipped, when they started compromising with the fellow alien heathen people, we see that in chapter 8, when King Ahaz went to Damascus and he saw the heathen way of worship, he told the priest Uriah to come up to Damascus to see the altar, take the replica of the altar and bring it back to Judah and to build an altar. See the heathen behavior? When that happened, battle began. When that happened, unrest began in the land of Israel and in the land of Judah. And that is a background. So in the middle of battle cry, God's promise was for a birth of a babe. He told, you people are busy battling, but I've got a promise of a baby. A birth of a baby. And that's what begins here. For unto us a child is born, to us a child is given. So we're going to call to this message as child born. So we got the background, right? When there was a battle going on, when man was purposing battle, God's promise was for a baby. And this baby was no ordinary baby, wasn't it? He was an extraordinary baby. A child is born, but a son is given. And there's a difference there. Child is born talks about the humanity of the baby. The son given is about the deity of the baby. So you have humanity and deity being expressed in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Because that was God's promise. It was a God's intervention. It was not an ordinary child. An ordinary child was born for Isaiah in chapter 8, in verse 2. God gave Isaiah a child, a son. But that was in a different context altogether. But when it come down to chapter 9, God gave us a child. It was a child of a promise. A child who would bring about a whole new course of understanding about redemption, about salvation. So this child, the Son of God, you can look into three different things that he did in chapter 9, verse 6. Number one, we're going to see his absolute Godhead. Then we're going to see his abundant gifts. And finally, we're going to see his abiding government. His absolute Godhead, his abundant gifts, and finally his abiding garment. All these concepts is wrapped up in that particular verse, chapter 9, verse 6. His absolute Godhead. This babe was not only a child that was given to Mary and Joseph, but he was a son of God. He was a human, at the same time, he was divine. The humanity of Christ, of this baby, and the deity of this baby always intermingled. Few weeks ago, I was talking to my children and asked them a question, when does the deity of Christ end and when does his humanity begin? Or when does his humanity end and when does his deity begin? The answer is no. He's always going to be God. And he had become human for you and me. And they always intermixed. He always was God, even though he was in flesh. A good example would be when he sat at the well, when the lady from Samaria came to draw water. Scripture says in John 4 that he was thirsty. He was exhausted. Talks about humanity. He asked for a drink. That was his humanity. But then when he started asking her questions, when he talked about the living water, when he went and said, why don't you go bring your husband? And the woman said, I have no husband. And what did Jesus say? He said, you said right. You don't have a husband, but the one you're living now is not your husband. And that was his deity. So humanity and deity were mixed in this child because he was absolutely God He was the Godhead, blessed be his name. And also we see at the tomb of Lazarus, when the Lord Jesus was invited, and as he was persuaded to go look at this bereaving family, I think it's John 11, when he went and saw Martha and Mary and the crowd as they were weeping, his humanity was manifested. And the scripture says that Jesus wept. That's his humanity. He cried like any other person. He was filled with emotions. He had feelings for that person and for that family. He wept. But the same Christ, when Jesus stood at the tomb and he said to Lazarus, come out. And you see what happened. And that was his deity. You see how wonderfully the scripture talks about this child, the absolute Godhead, the one who came to save the world. He was the Son given for us. And then you see in the same verse the abundant gifts that was mentioned. His abundant gifts. And here's his names and the titles that were given to this child. He was called the Wonderful Counselor, a Mighty God, Eternal Father, and finally the Prince of Peace. These truly are his wonderful gifts, a wonderful blessings to us, isn't it? If you look at the categories of the names, I would like to look at three different columns here and see what the world has to portray about the happenings at that time and how that wonderful gift, the abundant gift, explains his nature. In the troubled world, let's put that here, troubled world, he was a wonderful counselor. You see, the people then were really troubled because a battle was going on. They were troubled because there was a political unrest. There was a religious unrest. And today, when we look at our world, the place where we live in, there is an unrest in political scenes. We have unrest in the moralities. We have unrest among the civilization, society. There's not been a time when people have lived in peace. If you look at what's happening today in the world. But in the troubled world, he's our wonderful counselor. In a tiny world, he's our mighty God. In a tiny world, he's our mighty God. If you are looking at the space, and if you read what's happening, the more number of space objects we send out, and when they send the pictures back, you see the Earth being smaller and smaller. The farther you go into the space, the Earth looks smaller and smaller. We live in a very, very tiny world. We live in a very tiny space. The vast space with so many celestial bodies, with the galaxies that is innumerable to count. As we live in a tiny world, we see him to be a mighty God, the one who created the things which are seen, the things which are not seen. He is my mighty God. That's his gift to me. We don't have to be worried about what's going to happen to us because we serve a mighty God. He calls himself as a mighty God because he's done mighty deeds for us. Just last week or so, I was listening to BBC News, and there's been an invention perhaps, or maybe even an exploration into the outer space, where they have found out 8 different space bodies which could, and this is their terms, which could mimic the Earth and its atmosphere. Okay? Think about that. They're looking at these eight spatial bodies that's been found out recently. They have an idea that this could be something that's close to human, close to Earth and its its character. But again, it's not proven, but they're looking at it. This is something that's very new. If you go into the scientific world and take some look at the pictures that the Hubble telescope sends it, the Earth is so small compared to other planets and compared to other celestial bodies. Makes us to realize that in this small world, we serve a mighty God. The third thing is that in the transient world, we serve eternal Father. He's an eternal Father, unchanging person. Things change as we live in this world. There's been changes happening all the time in this world. Changes happening due to inventions and explorations. We see that in the scientific world. I see that in my own field of medicine. You see that in the political world. You see that in society when things are changing so rapidly, maybe for the bad, for the worse. Yet He is eternal. He is constant. He is unchanging and faithful. Isn't it wonderful that He has given us that blessing of calling Himself as an eternal Father? Would never change in this transient world. And finally, in the tense world, in a very stressful, tense world, He is Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. We can all relate to this, isn't it? What's happening now? Just last week, we see what happened in Paris. People being killed. You see what's happening in this country. You see what's happening in the world when there's so much of tension, there's so much of stress, when there's so much of uncertainty of life. There's no peace. But yet, to us, He has given us the gift to be called as a Prince of Peace. So in the troubled world, He's a wonderful counselor. He's always available. Even when He said, "Let not your heart be troubled, believe in me," because He's a wonderful counselor. He would never give upon us. He would never allow the turmoils of this world to take over the best of our lives because He's a wonderful counselor. In this very tiny world, He has blessed us to be called as a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. Nothing can hold us back because we serve a mighty God. In a transient world, He's our everlasting eternal Father. And finally, in the tense world, He's a Prince of Peace. You know, I was encouraged when I was looking at this one to see that His name would be called as a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, and a Prince of Peace. I wonder if these titles made any difference for those people during the time of Isaiah. They could not get the gist of it. They missed the whole message of Isaiah. When he came out in this time of battle and unrest, when he said, "Look at this particular message what God has given me as a prophet. For us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. His name is going to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." They missed it. Because even to this day, they've been looking for this Messiah. They were looking for this Prince of Peace. They're looking for this Wonderful Counselor. Aren't we so blessed for the Lord to reveal this Messiah, this Prince of Peace, this Everlasting Father, in the Lord Jesus, our Savior. And finally, the verse 7 talks about the abiding garment. Verse 7, of the increase of his garment and of peace, there will be no end on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This talks about the future kingdom, which is going to be abiding forever and ever. When the Lord Jesus is going to come back, he is going to occupy the seat of David. And that's going to be his garment. There's not going to be any more battles. There's not going to be any more unrest. There's not going to be any hopelessness. Because the Lion of Judah is going to be seated upon the kingdom of the throne of David. And he's going to rule with just and righteousness. And his kingdom will never end. It's going to be abiding forever and ever. That is the kingdom of righteousness and peace. That's the kingdom of faith. That's the kingdom of purity, of perfectness. As we look forward to that kingdom, I think it's important to prepare in our hearts for the kingdom of Christ to reign on a daily basis, isn't it? Because he's our counselor. You know, even as we look forward for his establishment on this earth, I think we need to check our hearts and say, has he established his kingdom in my life? In my heart, as his child, am I the person where he could reign in me for all the time? Am I listening to his wonderful counsel? Is he the mighty God in my life? Is he the Prince of Peace? Is he reigning in my heart forever? Or do I have a sense of drifting away from him? Trying to seek outside the realm of his governing nature in my life. You see, that's what happened to Israelites. They always went and played with other gods, with other religion, because they didn't want to have the best what God wanted to give them. It's very easy as children of God for us to lose the message of the Christmas, of this birth of Christ. The birth of a son. So when I looked at it, the Lord really touched my heart and said, what am I going to do with this Christmas child? Because this was a promise God gave us. At the same time, we should never forget the same person who went upon the cross of Calvary. The Christmas child was the Savior on the Calvary. And God used these two concepts to hammer evil one, because he had no control. Satan has no control on us, because not only that we know him as the child that was born, but we also know him as the son that was given to us. He was the one who gave himself for us on the cross of Calvary. So as we enter into this year of 2015, my desire is to be obedient to this person, to the point where I would allow him to reign in my heart on a regular basis, so that I would seek his counsel, so that I would be able to enjoy the peace that he's going to give me, and that he would eternally rule in my heart. And that should be our desire, I think, as we look at the scriptures, and often as we realign our lives based upon the word of God. Let that be our desire on a daily basis, maybe moment by moment in the coming year, to seek his wisdom and his counsel, and to have him to reign in our heart forever. Before we close in prayer, I just want us to sing that hymn in Black Book 285, I believe. Somebody can lead that. 285.
I'll close the prayer.
Charm says, he for conflict, faith and arms says, nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in him. Trust in him, he saints forever, he is faithful, changing never, neither force nor God can sever. Those he loves from him. Keep us, Lord, oh, keep us cleaving to thyself and still believing till the hour of our receiving promised joys with thee. Then we shall be where we would be. Then we shall be what we would be, things that are now, now or could be, should shall be our own. Father, we agree with this songwriter that day will come where we shall see you as you are. But in the meantime, we ask you that even as we look at this promised one, the child that was born and the son that was given, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. Lord, as we look at him in the coming year, help us to continue to see the promise that you've given to us and never to forget that he's our Lord and our Savior. And those who of us who know him personally, we will continue to seek him. We will continue to abide in his word and continue to hope that day when he shall reign forever. And those who do not know him would come to this place called Calvary and look at this child that gave himself for us, because only that is the way to have you back in our lives and to have the hope of eternal life. So bless us and continue to be abiding in your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.